So just totally relax, okay? It's up to me to make this podcast work. You don't have to do anything. It's up to me. If this podcast fails and your friend Max Marshall, you know, thinks the episode last week wasn't fantastic, that's all my fault. So you just relax, okay?
Oh, he loves
relax.
It.
Like, I could make this wrong with my music now. Hello, welcome back. Part two with Scarlett as I dribble and spray my saliva all over the kitchen table. Welcome. Look, tell me about busking in Mexico and South America. What on earth? You're a Chinese guy from Hong Kong.
I busk in Spanish as well.
Spanish?
Yeah, my Spanish is broken.
But you can speak broken Spanish?
Yeah, really broken Spanish.
Okay, so that makes sense because they speak Spanish in Mexico.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
in
how
South
to
America.
Mime. Unfortunately.
You're not a mime artist.
Yeah. Well, so it happens because I'm curious, but my college result isn't excellent.
Ah.
So I applied for an exchange student to be somewhere like maybe Scotland, Switzerland, Australia, whatever.
Yes.
And I got 5 choice, but they gave me the 6th one because my result isn't good.
Oh.
Yeah, so my GPA isn't excellent.
They gave you the sixth choice.
It's Monterrey in Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. Si. Arriba, arriba. Monterrey, Monterrey.
So, I say, okay, that's strange, but it sounds fun.
Okay.
So I signed up for it. I farewell my family in Christmas time, and I flew, I think, just after Christmas or somewhere before New Year.
Yeah.
I forgot. Anyway.
So you go to Mexico to study.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're there, you start doing some busking.
I met some fellow magicians there.
Oh, okay.
But before I go, people said I probably will die. Because people said, like, they saw me, scrolling about traveling South America and Mexico. And they think, drug dealers, stuff like that. Bad things in Mexico happens. It's typical Hong Kong. I'm so sorry.
My brother's girlfriend is from Colombia. He gets the same prejudices.
Yeah.
Even though most of the people are totally law-abiding. Yeah, there's no guns, there's
people.
No danger. Yes.
Good people. So, I went there, and then I start doing my thing among the international students. I remember they have like something like orientation.
Doing your thing?
Yeah, studying. Like magic.
Oh, doing your magic?
Yeah, in the orientation.
Oh, okay.
So I basically was a cocky teenager.
Yeah.
I showing up and tell everyone I'm a magician,
yeah.
Tell all the people.
Okay.
And I start doing some magic tricks in parties and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't charge anything. And I met
the
local
just for fun?
Yeah, I mean, they are my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to parties.
Oh, not to a kid's birthday party. You just went to a party. The students were going to a party.
Yeah, got
you
drunk.
You go there. You go
there.
Yeah. You'll do some magic.
Yeah.
And, show off.
Yeah. My roommate and my flatmate told me I'm the best wingman.
Oh, wingman, yes.
Yeah. I do the wingman jobs.
Yeah.
I got drunk. I fall asleep and then I don't know what happened.
But your friend has got lots of girlfriends then.
No idea.
Okay, so you're doing that.
I also met the local circles of magicians.
Right.
And then there's a guy who's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
And during the semester break, I want to travel down a little bit.
Mm.
Because Monterrey is the north of Mexico.
Okay.
There's some nice mountain there,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like the cultural
Mexico. So you wanted to
Mexico.
See the cultural Mexico, so you travel south?
I travel in the middle first,
middle.
Like towards the south.
Mm.
So Mexico, I travel to places like Zacatecas and Guadalajara,
mm-hmm.
Guanajuato, where they got the inspiration of Coco.
Oh, wow.
The movie Coco.
Okay,
so I went there, went to that city.
Yeah,
it's the heart of Mexico. Because most people may think Mexico is like the south, the sea, the pyramid, and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I went with this clan, and
clown.
Yeah. That's like a clan, and he's like among the magician circle.
Yes.
So he do both.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. And he actually his magic is excellent as well. So
oh, not like me then.
No, you're brilliant. So that clan knows me that I'm going south, and he's at the same age of me as well.
Mm.
So me and him He said, let's go together to do a road trip. We took buses.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, he didn't drive. He knew how to drive, but I think he's maybe too tired, too
far. So, still, how do you get to be busking?
That's the clan.
He's a busker. He does busking.
The clan... I'm not 100% sure, but I think he did some.
Yes.
And then, like, when in the evening, when we finished sightseeing or whatever, yeah. We set up a hut.
Yeah.
On the plaza, usually it's like Plaza de Mayo, Plaza de Amo, something like that. It's all the same, the plaza.
So did you do a walk by, you're doing magic and they walk by, did you get the crowd to stay and do a show?
We draw the clown.
Draw the crowd.
It's difficult to pronounce cloud.
Yes.
We draw the crowd. He draw the cloud. He told me how.
How did he do it?
Oh, he eat the balloon.
Eat the balloon, that does it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, eating balloons. And I do... So, later on, I found out that D-Light also works.
Oh, yeah,
to draw people.
Yeah. And D-Light thumb tips, yeah.
Yep. Mm. And what else he did? He did some clown works to... I don't think he talks a lot.
Right, right.
But obviously, he can talk better than me.
Yes.
At that stage, I don't really know how to say the Spanish works of magic. Mm. But I remember I developed my change back routine there.
Okay. Did you work together as doing one show, but two magicians? Two
sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we like he pulled out my change back, the wrong silk,
right,
and stuff like that. Sometimes we take turns.
Okay.
So that's how I got started. How I started to realize that magic shouldn't always be cool. Like a cool guy, you know what I mean?
It can be funny.
It can be fun as well. Right. It can be entertaining as well. Yeah. So I remember the lovers of the nice Mexican mummies and children and curious people, teenagers, seeing a Chinese Chino.
Yes.
Mago Chino.
Yeah, you are super special, yeah. Very exotic.
Yeah, very exotic for them. I was really amateur. I don't even have my own table.
Yeah.
So there's many stuff that I can't do.
What did you do?
I remember we do the Indian
change
rope.
Change bag, yeah.
Yeah, Indian rope. Like the straight one.
Okay.
It's actually his idea. He said that's... Oh, no. It's another magician's idea from Monterrey. But we stole it anyway. So they say, like, okay, this is a rope of truth.
Rope of truth.
So... It basically works like a lie detector.
Yeah.
And we say some funny stuff, point to a guy and say he's a woman, point to a guy and say he's gay. We control the rope whether it's foul or it goes straight.
Yes. The Indian rope. So it can either be straight and stand up as if it's made of metal, or it can just flop down like a proper rope.
Yep. So straight
that's
is,
fun. Yeah,
is
that's
true.
Fun.
Foul means false.
Yeah.
And this is it. And also, we do it as a detector. This one's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's by Marco Tato from Monterrey. I think it's his original idea.
Okay.
He used Indian rope to point to the children and find a volunteer. Mm. So the rope, he used it as a sensor to sense whether there's a good kid.
Mm.
So... Every one of them is a good kid. It's very difficult to make the choice choose, right?
Right.
So now the rope changed to detect a bad kid. So, and then he picked the bad kid, and the ropes fall, and the bad kids come out.
Oh, that's clever. I like that. That's nice.
That's very nice. I still use it sometimes.
Did you have a way to finish your busking show?
At that time?
A bigger trick?
Ah.
How did you finish it? Because you've turned up. You mustn't have any big tricks with you.
Yeah, well... My friend did the talking.
Okay.
I think he do some con stuff as well.
Right.
I don't really have much with me at that time.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Later we have. But at that stage, he talk and people start to give money and have no idea it's all his family.
Oh, he just did it himself. Oh, lovely.
I help out. And we also do the Sponge Rabbit, I remember. Don't remember much, actually.
Okay.
It's like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
After this... I try it. So back to Monterrey, I got some pay job.
Mm.
One or two, I forgot, not much.
Mm-mm.
We did some, we gather with the magicians, we exchange ideas, we even have a convention. Tony Hassini came.
Okay.
Ben Simon came. We have a small convention there.
How about, why have they written down free meal in Mexico?
What does that mean? Years afterwards.
Years afterwards?
Yeah, let's get to that. After I went to South America.
Okay.
So after I finished my study in Mexico, I traveled by myself this time, down towards the south of Mexico and to Central America. Couldn't cross the border of Nicaragua. They didn't let me cross.
Okay.
So I flew to Colombia and go down all the way to Argentina.
Wow.
During that time, I got table.
Okay.
I purchased a table from Baking Magic because it's at the border of Monterrey and Mexico and USA.
Yes.
So it's right at the border. It's called, it's a small town called McAllen.
Okay.
In Texas.
Alright.
I found it so strange. Like the famous collector workshop is just next to me.
Oh, there it is.
It's basically like 4 hours from me. So I visited George Robinson, great guy and nice workshop, brilliant. I bought the table there, a portable one. It's like the stand. I bought the table stand. And I asked a Mexican leather artist to make the table for me.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, I remember the core of the table is a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
I found it in a supermarket. And I bought the chalkboard to the leather artist and he make it into a table.
Yeah.
And with that, and with my change band, my Rope of Truth, my D-Light, my mouth coil, I purchased some cheap mouth coil there. And
it's amazing. So you get all these props and you go traveling down to South America.
Yeah, and Berlin's as well. And cups and bowls.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Mercury one with me. Michael Armour Mercury one is really nice and heavy.
I don't really know all these names. I'm just nodding, pretending I really know all about magic stuff. Okay, good, good.
Anyway, so I got the Mercury one with me and I got cups and bowls. I also make a leather pouch to get all the phyllo loads into my cups. And at that time, I developed my routine of cups and bowls, and I used it as a finish.
Ah.
And the phyllo loads, I just travel and go to the market to see what could I stuff it in. Sometimes it's potato, sometimes it's kiwi fruit. No, I don't think they have kiwis there. Sometimes lemon, and sometimes it's avocado.
Hide under the cups.
Yeah, there's like lots of avocado. So mostly avocado. Yeah. I can keep it fresh, I can eat it, and phyllo loads is grapes with my hat, my fedora, it's like Gazzo talking.
I was going to say Gazzo, yes, because Gazzo is a very famous busker who does the cups and balls.
I met him in Garden, actually,
years
ago. At that time, I don't realize it's Gazzo, but afterward, when I think about his mean trick, and his attitude is so mean to people and he's so funny as well. And look at the picture again, I figure out that's Gazzo.
Yeah, it's amazing. About 3 minutes ago, as I was hearing you talk about cups and balls and busking, I was thinking, I must talk about Gazzo. Because, yeah, there you go, and there you are.
Yeah, I remember the hat and he got a big melon. I tried the melon, I tried the grips. It's alright.
So, yeah, people, if you want to check out one of the legends of the cups and balls and busking scene, there's a guy called Gazzo, and he's been doing it for years, decades. He's really funny, really good.
Yeah, really funny. And I also asked my Spanish teacher to help me on my scripts.
Yes.
So I got my scripts written.
Yeah.
If they talk something else, I most of the time don't know what to say.
Right.
My Spanish is really broken.
But you could actually get through a show speaking in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Some lines.
Yeah, some lines, important lines.
What lines?
No, you knew the important lines.
Yeah, important ones.
You know what to say, yeah.
Like the first magic tricks from Egypt, this is
you can
the
say that,
cups
yes.
and balls, vasos and pelotas.
There you are.
So I traveled down with this,
and
there's something funny happening in Ecuador.
Yeah, Ecuador, yeah.
In Quito.
Yeah.
Quito isn't exactly a very safe city,
no.
But there's the most beautiful church that I've ever seen is in Quito.
Yeah.
And I climbed the tower of the church as well. Anyway, so in the plaza, I set up my show, and then there's like a policeman came, and he tried to tell me from his gesture that I couldn't do anything here.
Okay, couldn't do anything, okay.
And people start to gather. And then there's some guys talk to the policeman, and after some shouting and stuff, and I'm preparing to leave because I'm a backpacker, I want no trouble. And the people say, no policía, ahora. no police now.
Oh.
Okay, I say no, no police. See, no police here.
Okay.
Okay, so, okay, they chase the police away.
They chase the police away.
And I start to do my stuff.
Wow.
I did a show, I get around 50 people, I guess.
Yeah.
And then at last, I think I copied the idea of a Guatemala mine to get some money. I forgot. I say like one peso can buy me something, 5 peso can buy me coffee,
yeah.
50 peso can buy me a meal, something like that.
Yes.
And finish it with my hat. And that was my birthday as well.
Oh, nice.
I remember I took a nice picture with all my audience. I got the money, I went to a nice restaurant, have a very salty steak. I want to treat myself, but it was horrible. Anyway.
So let me just say, if you're doing Cups and Balls as your final trip,
yep.
You've got an audience of 50, is that probably the maximum you can do? Because Cups and Balls, if you had a really big crowd and they were too far away, they wouldn't be able to see your magic tricks.
Not really. The balls are nice.
They can be seen from a distance.
Big, yeah. And
so you can do Cups and Balls for quite a big crowd, yeah,
on
a big stage.
Yeah. Well, not like hundreds of people, but probably like 100.
100, yeah. That's
nice.
A good tip. I like that. I'm gonna write that down. Cups and Balls, 100.
You can find some nice, bigger size ball. I think it's like an inch or a little bit more than an inch in diameter.
Inch in diameter.
And it's brilliant red in colour.
Mm.
And
so it can be seen.
Yeah. It's a good one.
But tell me, why did I write down free meal in Mexico?
Ah, after I left South America,
yeah.
I came back with my wife during our honeymoon.
Yeah.
So I back to Mexico and I wanted to show her how Mexico was.
Yeah.
So we traveled to a place called Xilitla, which is very, very not in the ways of foreign tourists. But
okay.
It's brilliant. They have like a secret garden there. Anyway.
In the jungle.
Yeah, they built like garden structure, but stairs leading to nowhere, structure that looks
What's
strange.
The name again?
Xilitla.
Xilitla.
I don't really know how to spell it.
No, we'll search it up later.
Yeah. So, that one. And then we went to a nice restaurant. Because that is like out of the way of foreign tourists, but it's pretty famous, right? Among the Mexican tourists. So we went to a nice restaurant, then I start talking with the owner there, and then usually it start like, when you travel, they start to ask you, what do you do at home? I say, okay, I do magic. Oh, show me a trick. After we finish the food, so they gather like a couple of his relatives. At the end, it's like, in the restaurant, it was a little bit late, so it's just like, two of us, and then the owner asked about 10 people of his relative to came.
Yeah.
And I did a series of card tricks.
Yeah.
Some of Monica's stuff as well. Oh no, I forgot.
Anyway, yeah.
Pete Hartling, I remember. It's Pete Hartling things. Fans Pete. Anyway, so I did a brilliant show, at least for them.
Yeah.
I don't know how I do, but they like it a lot.
Yeah.
And then when I try to go and pay for my meal, it's a nice, decent restaurant in Mexico.
Yeah,
it's a cheap in Mexican standard, but then they refuse to take my money.
So you got a free meal.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's nice.
You're strange because you look like you should be shy. You got your glasses on.
You look like a bookworm.
Yeah, you look like a bookworm. You should be in the library studying, and yet here you are. You're going all around the world. You're doing street shows. You're chatting to people in restaurants, then putting on a show and getting free meal. You're actually very, very outgoing, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm shameless. Sorry.
You look like a bookworm.
I'm the black sheep amongst my family.
Yeah, you are.
My family, they
of course you
all
are.
Behave very well.
Of course you are.
They're like, yeah, and I'm always a naughty one.
Next question. Why did I write down magic tricks in front of a bar if that wasn't you? What's that about?
The first time I went to South America after the tricks in Quito in Ecuador, I continued my... No, it was before, sorry. So after I left Mexico, I went to Colombia.
Mm.
And in a place called Cartagena, it's a brilliant, nice tourist destination.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, the bar scene is excellent.
Yeah,
Many tourists, they got drunk. And I remember I'm trying to figure out whether I should like do something here. I was on my own.
Yes.
And then I saw there's a beggar.
Yeah.
Literally a beggar.
Yeah.
From Latin America, because he speaks fluent Spanish.
Yeah.
And he did some brilliant stuff. He asked people to give him a burning cigarette.
Okay.
But he's literally like a very down to earth beggar.
Yeah.
No offense. And he put the cigarettes inside his mouth,
yeah,
and start chewing.
Chewing. Yeah.
So after he chewed for a while, the cigarette's gone.
Oh.
Open his mouth, roll out his tongue, gone. And then smoke start to come out from his mouth again.
Oh yeah.
And then he took the burning cigarette, still burning, from his mouth. And I remember this is like Cellini's trick.
Yeah.
And he did it in a bar outside, yeah, Cartagena.
Wow.
I have no idea how he learned it. And
again, appearances are deceiving. You look like a bookworm. Yeah. You look like a down and out beggar, but he's got these amazing skills.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the way he planned it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe he's like a legit magician, yeah, just want to have some fun. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And also he did a vanishing bottle trick as well.
Yeah.
And he used a gimmick.
Cool.
He got a gimmick of, yeah, vanishing bottle.
Okay.
Not the non-Nelson one.
Okay.
But
again, I don't really know. I've seen Tommy Cooper make vanishing bottles disappear.
So he used some newspaper, roll up a bottle. You can still see the mouth of the bottle,
yes,
and then it's gone.
Squash the newspaper and the bottle's gone.
And then he hit somewhere, I don't know where it's gone. I,
yeah,
forgot whether he produced it somewhere, but it's brilliant. I have no idea.
Ah, so you saw that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm pretty sure he used a gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're right, he's a magician,
I
but
think
he
you
just
might
pretend
be, yeah,
to be a beggar.
Maybe that's his style. That's really interesting. Ah, okay. Tell me about balloon decoration and being a balloon artist. Like your decoration, wow, I looked at the photos on your website. You've got some massive sculptures made out of balloons. Where,
yeah,
did,
well,
you learn all this?
So, I don't know if the listeners know about it. And among the balloon circle, they are more tight mouth than... That's what I think. They're more tight mouth than the magicians.
Really?
We share stuff.
Yeah.
But the balloons things, you always have to pay for a course.
Right.
And but I being a poor guy,
yeah,
and I don't really want to,
yeah,
you know, spend thousands of
so
dollars.
So how did you find out the secrets of making all these?
I figured it out by myself.
Figured it out by yourself.
Yeah, I ask my friends sometimes,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
they give me tips. Some good friends of mine will like Jeremy Telford,
okay,
from America.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good friend of mine, and he wrote a book called Balloonology. That one opens up my knowledge of balloon.
How about YouTube? Does that help at all?
After Balloonology,
okay,
because YouTube there's like good video, bad video,
yes,
basic or not,
mm-hmm,
but you've got to get the basic first,
yeah,
in order to learn properly. There's an amazing. That's actually a Mexican woman who teach amazing, easy to do balloon design in Spanish, and she looks pretty nice, and her scrub is really good.
Mm.
But I learned the basic from Balloonology. Check out that book. It's brilliant.
Now I haven't done balloon decoration, so I don't know much about it. But I'd imagine there's things you have to think about that you might not guess. I'm imagining you've got to go in advance, set it up before the crowd arrives. And then you've got to make it so that it's going to last the whole event. It's not going to.
Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes it doesn't. Is it?
Yeah.
Any tips?
As long as the structure is like it looks like a big balloon decoration instead,
yeah,
of like lonely figures.
Yes.
The kids will leave it alone.
Ah, there you go. It makes sense. If it's
but,
lonely figures, they're going to just break it and take it,
yep,
and move it. But it's one giant archway. They're not going to try and pull it away.
Yeah, even there's like something else,
yeah,
next to the archway. As long as it's the same group, the kids will leave it
alone.
Ah,
that's amazing. Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
But if it's like a table stand, there when we met,
mm-hmm,
the table stand some of them didn't survive.
Yeah.
But it's, well,
so if you've got balloons on a table, just like a, almost like a vase of flowers, but you've got that nice balloon sculpture, it'll just get, the kids will just start interfering.
Sometimes. You can't say anything about it. So I learned the basic. Also, I try by try and error.
I
don't think I've ever attended a balloon decoration course, but I did like two or three balloon course, costing thousands of Hong Kong.
Any favourite brands? Do you use Qualitex, which you went?
Qualitex is good. I try SimpliTex, but so the problem of SimpliTex, what I think, the colour is brilliant.
SimpliTex is great colours,
Yeah, colour is brilliant, and but it's a little bit hard.
Right.
And also after
hard
a day,
to pump, you mean?
Hard to pump.
Yes.
And after a day or after some hour, some chamber of balloon will just mysteriously deflate.
Okay.
Somehow.
So you go for Qualitex.
Yeah,
good. It'll last longer.
Yeah, Qualitex is nice.
Now, because you're so fantastic at your job, you must get customers asking you to come back the next year.
Yeah.
So what do you do if someone comes back the next year and then they say, "Oh, do you have a different show?" Or what do you do if you have that
so
problem?
I remember very clearly my first repeat customer. She's a nice woman from Spain, and she got two daughters. And in two consecutive years, she hired me for four times.
Exactly, it's tricky, right?
Yeah, and then the fifth time, I think I left for my honeymoon, so that's it. But the fourth time, and every time I have to figure out like a half an hour show. The first two times is fine because I got like spare material.
Mm-hmm.
And then
three and four, though,
I have to learn something new.
Yeah,
I force myself to learn a new silent, it's always like a silent act and talk show and stuff. I just look it up. And
so you literally wrote a whole new third and fourth show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, different ending, different.
Yeah.
And then so afterwards my arsenal is bigger.
Your arsenal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got stuff that I can pick from.
Yeah.
I have more stuff.
Okay.
I remember just like a couple months ago, there's a customer who booked me for three times, same group of children.
Yes,
they're a little bit grow up.
Yeah.
And the adults, they attend my first show as well. They booked me for 1 hour show.
Oh, it's a long one, yeah.
Yeah, 1 hour show. The first time I did it, it's all, no problem.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Second time, 1 hour show. I still got some stuff to squeeze in.
Yeah.
No problem. I still did it. And they booked me for the third time for 1 hour show. So my cups and bowls, done it.
Everything done.
Not really. I figured out, like, okay, I recently played. You know, as an amateur magician, you play with something.
Well, I tell you, something that's useful for a magician is there are a lot of tricks and different routines. If you're like me and you come from a juggling background, it's quite hard to do something new because you ride a unicycle and you juggle clubs, or you juggle boxes, or you juggle balls.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, you know. They say a new show, well, I'll ride the unicycle again, and I'll juggle clubs again, and I can change the music, I can change the costume, it might be different juggling moves, but for the audience, it often looks the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So for a magician, you've got, because you're a magician, you have got a huge amount of tricks you can draw from. But my question is, if you're doing a new show, how do you practice this in advance if it's new stuff?
Okay, so
busking's one way that I've done new shows, practicing. I've gone and just bust it on the street. Well, don't care if I don't get any money. At least I can see how the show will work.
Yeah, that's in Hong Kong.
I can do it in Hong Kong. I haven't done it in Hong Kong. I did it in Singapore when I used to work there.
Yeah, in Hong Kong it's tricky. Anyway, so because during the weekdays I teach interest class, after school interest class in various school in Hong Kong.
Mm.
Usually my students are primary school students.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, they are my mouth, they are my mouse.
So you're teaching what class?
After school interest
class. Interest class. Ah, so you've got a chance to practice there.
The mouse in
perfect.
The lab.
Perfect. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, there you go. That's what I wanted to know.
And I try.
Oh, what did you say? Also, what did you say? What did you mean when you said magic at a birthday party is not really magic. I guess you're saying the magic at a birthday party is very different to the magic you might do for adults. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if it changed, but in Hong Kong, many people do birthday parties, magic tricks.
Yes.
Some of them, they just learn a few tricks, mm-hmm. and then they charge a lower price, and they just do it. So it's boring because they don't know how to handle the people and how to make fun of them. They just keep talking. They think they're funny. You know the counting trick, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 and a half, 1, 2, 4.
I don't know, what is this?
Oh, you don't?
No.
Maybe it's typical.
Because I'm too high class, you see. I don't know this simple stuff. My routines are so fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, what is this super common routine?
So they want to pick, okay, any kids want to come out?
Yeah.
And everybody's raising their hand. No, wait. We count 1, 2, 3, and the first kid raise up their hand, okay. I'll pick him.
Oh.
So he start 1, 2, 4.
Okay, 1, 2, 5.
They do this for a long time. So they think, okay, it's easy to get through. So the magic, and they use like some not really well-structured routines.
I think you're right. I don't actually think that what they're doing is bad, though, because in a way, with children, you have these limits, because children's audience is different to an adult audience. Mm-hmm. If you were doing that to an adult audience, like, come up on the count of 3, 1, 2, 4, the adults would go, no way. But the kids actually respond really well to this stuff. It works really, really well, which is why they do it, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very different to doing a magic show in a theatre for adults. Very, very different.
But the adults also looking.
Looking,
So yes. You have to do a show that can amaze the adults, entertain them,
yes,
as well as the children.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah, if you're doing a birthday party, remember that actually almost half the audience, maybe more, if it's a husband and a wife for each child,
there could be
more adults.
So you have to take care of them as well.
Yeah.
So you can't do something really simple in a simple way.
No.
You can do something simple, but in a brilliant way, in a creative way, in a way that's fun to the children and it's fun to the adults as well.
Yeah.
I think Silly Billy have done a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant idea.
Silly Billy's very, very good. I saw his videos.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do is have certain jokes which go over the children's heads. The children don't even hear them. Yeah. But the adults enjoy, you know.
Yep.
You can be climbing on the unicycle and saying, let me just get one thing straight, and then pull your groin into the right position, and the adults will laugh. I wouldn't do that. I take that back. That's an example, but it's not an example.
I got an example.
Because that example is too rude.
I have an example.
Don't do what I said at the birthday party. I don't do that.
There's like an example that I wouldn't do. Yeah. It's about the cups and balls thing.
Yeah.
It's not my style, but maybe somebody can try it out.
Yeah.
So there's like 3 balls, and I got 3 balls. Now I got 1 balls, and people laugh. But that's not my stuff, and it didn't work in Chinese as well.
Mm, okay, there you go.
But
the concept makes sense. There are certain jokes which the adults are going to enjoy, and it won't disrupt the children's enjoyment of the show.
I got a few that I can share.
Yeah, yeah.
That worked. Like, it's not rude.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah.
So I got the raccoon.
Yeah.
I said...
This is the raccoon that will kind of jump out of your arm.
Yeah, yeah, I got a really nice raccoon. I call him Foxy because he looks like a fox.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the raccoon just start to move and stuff. And then I try to explain.
Mm.
Okay, anyone think this is real? Like little children, like very little ones, they think this is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because after I play it for a while, at first everybody think this is real.
Yeah.
Or I'm not doing a good job. So they think it's fake.
Yeah.
Fake. The children.
Fake.
So I say, no. It was real, but not anymore.
There you are. Yeah. That's good.
Things like that, and then the children don't really understand, don't understand. But there's
something the adults to enjoy.
It's horrible. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't kill it. I just bought it from a market in China. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I've got one. Pay attention at school, kids, or you could end up doing this for a living during my show. Just shout it out. Some adults will laugh.
Yeah, that's nice. Nice one. And Yeah, and also I talked about like what do they do? Are you a banker or something? I think I talked about this last
time. To the kids. You get a kid to volunteer, are you a banker? Or you talk to the adults?
The kids.
And you talk to the kids, so are you a banker? Yeah.
Yeah, what's your job?
Yeah, of course. I haven't done this for years, but I might do it again. Bring up the kids and I'm doing my show with the kids to volunteer and I start asking them the questions and I'm like, by the way, what's your view on the current political situation in Iraq? You just carry on, yeah. Just something like that. Just something to get the adults laughing.
Yeah, and then the kids have so many question marks and the adults laugh and they have no idea.
Yeah, you can throw those in. But this gets me perfectly onto my next bit. You do some shows specifically for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Is there much of a market for this in Hong Kong?
Because
when I was in Singapore in the 1990s, there was a market. A lot of corporate events, even on stage, big stage shows for corporate dinners. Not so much for the past 10, 15 years.
I have to make a confession. I'm really bad at marketing.
All right.
But I believe there's a big market because many people are doing that.
Mm.
As far as I know, lots of magicians, they're doing like...
And also, you speak Cantonese, so you can speak to a Cantonese...
Yeah.
Speaking audience.
Yeah. That's give me an edge as well because I speak both languages in Hong Kong.
Mm.
Anyway, I did a show. I remember I did a show in a brilliant hotel at the Seaside TST, which is like
TST,
Tsim Sha Tsui.
Oh yes.
The Continental.
Oh yeah, so nice big hotel.
It's a big fancy.
Was it
hotel.
Like an annual dinner and dance or something?
Just a Christmas party.
Christmas party
for a couple of friends from Japan.
Oh okay.
So they're all Japanese.
Okay.
Obviously, I can't speak Japanese, but then they understand English and they just want a party and I did some party stuff there.
Mm.
So it's basically like a variation of my kids' party. At that time, it was like the first adult show that I remember.
Yes.
I did the chain release. I did the...
Is that when you're locked up in chains and escaping from being locked up in chains?
Yeah, that one is I cater for the adults, so that's why I did it in a birthday party.
Right.
But the kids will understand, the adults will be mystified as well.
Yeah.
So that one, and colour changing silk instead of change back.
Okay, yes, because the change bag looks very childish, but the colour-changing silk can look more elegant and sophisticated.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And also the lemon trick that I talked about last time.
Oh, yes. Check out the previous episode. Very funny.
And I think I did some mute pitcher.
Lemon trick.
The mute pitcher trick.
What picture?
I use the orange one.
Okay.
Orange juice one, but it's literally the meal picture trick from Silly Billy.
Okay, yeah, Silly Billy again.
I got at the end of the newspaper roll, so the liquid disappeared.
Mm.
I got an adult, came out,
mm.
and then dressed up like a baby.
You dressed the adult up like a baby?
Yeah. I mean, they're young adults, so they can.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I can do it. I know I can do it. So just pick someone young. And then I do the meal picture stuff, like with the hat, the shower hat and the goggles and stuff.
Yeah.
And then from the rolls of newspaper, there's an orange.
Mm-hmm.
So the liquid changed into an orange, and the guy, the hair safe,
yes.
no liquid, disappeared. And this is the closing of my trick. I remember I tried to chop off a lady's finger as well.
Ah, yeah,
so
guillotine.
I got a finger chopper.
Finger chopper guillotine, yeah, this one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice one from Japan. I forgot the manufacturer, but it's not like the normal finger chopper cheap plastic toy.
No, the cheap one you can get for $10.
Not that one. The finger chopper is brilliant.
Really good.
You can check everything. It's transparent.
So again, I think it's because you're a magician, you have a wide range of things you can choose, and you just chose the tricks which are a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more elegant, and you can do it for the adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do mentalism as well.
There you are. They'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah, mentalism. I do the super mentalism deck.
Okay.
I bought it from Kashak.
Mm.
It's a very, 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 very good trick.
Is there any differences, major differences or difficulties doing a show for adults that you don't encounter when you're doing a show for kids? For example, kids will go clap and wild and make lots of noise. Sometimes adults might be a bit more reserved.
Actually, because these groups of adults, they're friends.
Yeah.
If they're invited to your party or their colleagues, actually, it's much easier to handle than kids' party.
There you go.
Because in a kids' party, the kids may be sitting, they are paying attention. But there's like a baby, 2 years old, just screaming, run across of me when the climax came.
And that's right. That's
right. I can't
right.
control it.
Yes, I agree. In many ways, although an adult show you think would be more difficult and you can often charge a bit more money, in some ways it's easier because you haven't got kids running on the stage pulling things out of your box when you're not looking.
Yeah, and maybe I respect them, so they respect me as well. I'm pretty nice and they'll be nice to me. So I remember I also did like a surprise birthday party in McDonald's for groups of young adults.
Yeah.
And it works really well.
Fantastic.
As well. I make a balloon literally for the birthday girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a guy wants to make a surprise party for his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So basically, like, just handle them as kids, but with adult tricks.
What's your favorite big stage, big trick for a stage show? Not a close-up trick. What's your, is it the escapology from the...
I have to confess I'm not good at stage.
Yeah.
I don't really know manipulation, although I did some.
Right. So what you're talking about mainly is...
Parlor.
Is you're doing parlor, pretty much quite close-up magic shows for adults.
Yeah, parlor show.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, my favorite for stage...
No, don't worry. You can tell me your favorite, but let's talk about the parlor stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, parlor and backstage, I make it work.
Yes.
The same, like, I don't know, I don't have many opportunities to do shows in front of hundreds of people.
That's what I'd say, that's what I was saying about 5 minutes ago. In Singapore in the 1990s and in Hong Kong, there was a short time, about 5 years, when people like me and you would have got lots of work doing the really big stage shows. But nowadays, mainly smaller. So... You've got close-up, which is like on a table or just for two or three people. You've got parlor tricks, which are maybe more like a birthday party setting, maybe 20 people around you. What's your favorite?
Arm chopper. Yeah, it fits my personality as well. Since I was young, I love Goosebumps.
Yeah.
So I love those like dark humor.
What I mean. And Goosebumps, the TV program, yeah? Is that what
I'm
thinking?
Books.
Books, yeah. I remember, yes.
Yeah,
books.
When I was...
I'm too old, you see. I was growing up by the time those books came out.
Well, anyway, so I love those macabre stuff.
Yeah.
And chopping off people's arm is my cup of tea.
Excellent.
I love it.
That's a great parlor trick.
And I can bring it up on stage as well.
Yeah.
I just ask beforehand, when I ask the people in the company, who's a big boss, that can be fun. I have to find a big boss that can be fun, not a serious big boss.
Yeah, how do you pick your volunteers? How do you know?
I ask in advance.
Yeah.
I ask in advance, who should I pick? Yeah, let's pick him.
When you say ask in advance, do you, before you go on, you get to the event, and then you ask the organizer, who should I pick? Or do you ask like 3 weeks in advance or something?
Both ways works.
But anyway, works, yeah.
Yeah, they will pawn somebody's out for me before the show.
Yeah.
I ask before the show.
I'm going to shake your hand. I had the same solution. I would always try to pick my volunteers before the show. At least I had about 4 or 5 people I knew would be quite fun to pick up on stage. Yeah.
So that one is going to be the ending.
Yeah.
The bigger the boss is, the funnier when I've tried to chop his arm off.
Yeah.
And I did it in a way that they believe I'm a little bit strange and mad and really want to chop off his arm.
And it might actually go wrong and you might really chop his arm off.
So that's what I say. Before I chop the arms, I asked a volunteer to come.
Yeah.
And then he came up and I say, do you know what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's too bad. They should tell you. So I bring out the... I don't know how to say it. It's a French word.
Guillotine.
Yes. Yeah. I took out the guillotine.
Yeah.
But it's for arm. Don't worry. You won't die. You just lost an arm.
Yeah.
It's okay. So I start telling my story. I believe this is my original idea. So I play the music.
Original idea.
Mm. Adam's Family music.
Oh, yes.
Luckily, they make it again, so it's not too old now. But before they remake the Addams Family, only the old people will recognize. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Click click. Yeah, I remember it.
So only the old people remember this tune.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this inside the Adams family, they got like the thing.
Yes, the hand.
Yeah, the hand that can walk around. As a magician, I think this brilliant idea. Yeah. I want a familiar.
Yeah.
Like the mage and the wizard has a familiar. Yeah. All the powerful dark wizard have one.
Mm.
And you come up and be my volunteer. Mm. Can you help me to provide the raw material for me to make a hand that can follow me to the shows? So, all you agree, and then I ask which hand you use to write. Okay, this is brilliant. The writing hand makes an excellent familiar.
Yeah.
So now I put his arm, and then I put a carrot.
Yes, carrot.
Somehow they laugh.
Yeah.
If this is a woman.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But I never. This is never my intention because I'm going to be a dark wizard anyway. So I chop off the carrot.
Yeah.
Show them this is the blade that works. They hold the carrot. I chop it off.
Yeah.
Like quite violently.
Yeah.
And I start to I pretend that I lost a little bit of my manner and control.
Yeah.
And then so after some byplay, I don't know if you want to hear the detail. Anyway, so I chop off her arms. Ah, I have to say this. Out of 3 times, I will be successful for 2 times. The last 2 times I succeed. So this is the 3rd time.
That's what you say.
Yeah, that's what I said. I remember I developed it in Mexico.
Yeah.
Because I have a finger chopper with me. So that's then I chop off his or her arm, but I didn't success.
Yeah.
So I didn't got my familiar, but the tricks ends like I fell, but everybody laughed.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fun.
What's your favorite close up magic trick?
My favorite close up magic tricks to in a show or like just playing
close up magic. You know, you've got people around the table. Getting paid work. Yeah, paid work.
I do the limited edition. It's one of my favorite.
What is that?
The limited edition, I think, is from Naren Jenning. I'm not 100% sure.
You can check that one out. You think it's a good one, is it? Limited edition.
Limited edition.
All right, cool.
So, there's a card box. I open it up. I only got a few cards left. Because this is the last trick that I'm going to do to you guys. And this one, every time I did, I lost 1 card. So, I only got like 6 left. So I show the card, I ask a volunteer, do you have good imagination? Show the card, remember one, and remember in your mind, I put down the cards. I ask him to imagine the card, but just focus in front, just focus at the index of the card.
Okay.
Just forget everything.
Just the corner.
Everything else. Just remember the corner. Yeah. And I want you to ask you to use your imagination, tear the corner. So he mind the tearing the corner, I mind the card, and tear the corner, I put it like somewhere first. I put it inside your brain first. So, and then I try to explain. So, magic for me is to make imagination into reality. And in this magic, I'll try to make it. So, from your brain, I take out the strength of memory, of imagination, that you imagine that the cards that you choose is now blank except the corner, which is in your mind, right? So with this magic, I put it into the deck, the small packets of cards. Then I ask him to name the card that he literally think. He didn't pick.
Yeah.
He just looked at one and he think of
it.
And it's a card here, and I show him. No, the card he think of disappear.
Yeah.
And I show everyone. I ask him to name the card, and the card disappear. It isn't there.
Yeah.
But there's a card that has a corner missing.
Oh my
the
God.
Rest is blank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a blank card.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, the corner is still there. And now I pick up the corner from his brain. And then
the imaginary corner from his brain.
I got a locket with me. I put it into my locket. And then I just open up the locket slowly. And then I say, like, I make this thing into
that's
reality.
A good one.
And then the corner match the card that he think of.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's a great one. Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news.
Okay, the bad news is I will have to stop quite soon because my kids are going to come home from school and they're going to disturb me. The good news is this is so cool. Yeah. And I can actually race through just a final few questions.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. How do you get so many great photos of your shows on your website? Because I looked at your website, and one thing I noticed about your website, you've got a lot of really good photos.
Really?
Yeah, well, compared to mine. Maybe it's because you're younger, because my photos, some of my photos are from 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they've been scanned, and they're low definition. Where do you get these photos? Do you take sometimes a photographer with you to these shows?
So...
Do you ask the guests, have you taken any nice photos?
I think most of the nice photo, because I'm not a nice guy. I use my friends a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I manipulate them.
There you go.
I ask my friends to come with me to a party.
I thought you did. I thought. Hang on. How's he getting these photos? How's he getting?
I'm a lucky guy. I got some brilliant friends.
Yeah.
And their photography skills is really good.
There you are. But got a great idea.
My brothers love photography.
Yeah.
So I asked my brother to come with me when he's free as well. So he took some really nice photo.
I was wondering. Brilliant to talk to you. Really good.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. I noticed you haven't got so many videos yet on your website.
That's the next point that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I got a show.
After show. This is epilogue now. Epilogue. Here, okay, come my kids. This is perfect. We're getting this. Come on in.
Hello.
We're just wrapping up here. He's going to make videos one day. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I popped in that we got a show this Sunday.
Yeah.
And I got a friend who used to work in a magazine making videos.
So you get some videos done.
Yeah. She agreed that, yeah, let's go. And let me help you with some video.
I've
noticed that you don't have many videos.
Exactly. I had the same thought. I thought, all these photos, not many videos.
Oh, yeah. The
so
age
people,
change.
If you want to see a video of this amazing Scarlett, you can go to Magic Moment Ent, short for entertainment.com. I guess in a few months or so, the videos will start arriving.
Yeah, actually, I got some already made.
Brilliant. There we go. I'm going to check it out in a couple of weeks, see what it's like.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Yeah, pressure.
Oh, let's play some music to finish. Oh, God! There we are.